MZTV.
I want to thank all of you for the sympathy you expressed for me yesterday as I divulged the trials I've undergone with my youngest son, Paul, in the Christian religion. I have to share these things. I mean, I don't know how upset Paul's going to be that I'm talking about these things publicly, but you started it, son, and I can't suffer alone, and I don't have to. I have a family here, and it's the body of Christ. And I've said before, if you can't tell your father, God, what's happening to you, who can you tell? Well, you can tell your siblings, as Rodney Parris calls the body of Christ. He says, my siblings, our siblings, and indeed we are all part of the same family. And we care for one another, and we suffer together, we rejoice together. And it's not a theoretical thing. It is so valuable to know that people have your back, that they're watching after you, that they care for you. And I want you to know that it goes the same from me to you. As I've told you many times, I can't be happy knowing that somebody in the body of Christ is suffering or dying or just going through some terrible trial. And when is someone in the body of Christ not suffering or going through some terrible trial? That's the thing. You know, some of you might have seen a video I made with my son Paul before all this broke out, back in the good old days when he was pitching high school baseball, and I challenged him, or maybe he challenged me, to a baseball throwing competition, and we filmed it. And it was picked up by a baseball coach. I mean, it's one of my, I think it's the top three viewed videos. It's nothing to do with the scriptures. It's a father-son baseball throw competition. And you'll see how delightful and funny my son is. He's a great kid, and we get along fantastic. This has thrown us for a loop, but I'm gonna put that video down here if anybody hasn't seen it. And you will see back in the day before, oh boy, Jesus said that this would happen. He would set father against son, against daughter, against mother. And another brother reached out to me. Many of you have reached out to me and said your family members don't talk to you. And there's nothing hurts worse than a family member who won't even acknowledge you. I mean, that's just so juvenile, so immature, so unspiritual. It exposes them right away as unspiritual. And if they are spiritual, it definitely exposes them as immature. But there's that video if you want to watch that. So thank you, one and all, for responding and comforting me. And, you know, I do have this fantasy. I do have this fantasy of Paul coming to the realization of the truth and me interviewing him on this show. Oh, would that be something else? I pray to God today. Let your request be made known to God. God, this is my request, and I pray it before the entire body of Christ, that you would give my son Paul a realization and recognition of the power of the cross, to know that the body of Christ is a, for the most part, hidden secret organization, and that the mainstream religious world is apostate, and it has been apostate since Paul's day. It denies the success of Christ, denies the power of God, and would substitute the traditions of man for the truth of God. Lord, please open my son Paul's eyes, that he would see that his dad's not so dumb after all, and that he can be a real agent of change. I know my son Paul wants to be an agent of change, and he can be a great leader for having been established in the truth as a child, gone through the mill, and then come back to the truth. What a testimony that would be. And I pray, Father, that you allow me to share that testimony here on MZTV first with the saints, so that everyone can see the glory of God demonstrated. The strike of God, the road to Damascus experience, because that's what it would be at this point when someone is going up the ladder and becoming a somebody. It gets harder and harder to disengage and it would take a road to Damascus strike now. But I know, Father, that you're up to it. You've done it before. Thank you, dear God. Now, Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God and brother Timothy, to the saints and believing brethren in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thanking the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying concerning you. See, I just feel like talking about the unity of the body of Christ. Too many times in the last couple of years, because of necessity, we've talked about these divisions in the body of Christ. But today, because of your response yesterday, I want to concentrate on the unity of the body of Christ. We are thanking the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying concerning you on hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus. See, don't discount that. We always say that we're saved by the faith of Christ, and we are. It's the faith of Christ that saves us. That's the engine. And the caboose is our faith in him. It's a gift, yes. Our faith in him is a gift. Yet here is Paul on hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus. Don't discount that you have faith in Christ Jesus. You do. It's a gift. But you have it nevertheless. And I'm thankful for it. You're thankful for mine. I'm thankful for yours. And the love which you have for all the saints. All the saints. That is agape love. There are some saints who are probably not that lovable. I don't know any, but I'm sure there has to be some somewhere. But Paul is thanking the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the love which you, the Colossians, have for all the saints. And I have a love for all of you. I get very emotional when trial strikes, things aren't going well. And I just thank God continuously that there is a body of people that cares about me. And again, I tell you, I care about you. So why this love for all the saints? Paul explains it in verse 5. Because of the expectation reserved for you in the heavens. This is that expectation reservation I talk about a lot. Which you hear before in the word of truth of the evangel. Which being present with you according as in the entire world also is bearing fruit and growing. The word goes out into the entire world. But it's only the body of Christ that has received it. And it's bearing fruit and growing. But it is this common expectation that we have. And to be honest with you, I don't know how any saint, any member of the body of Christ who doesn't have the celestial expectation, I don't know if we still love them, but it's just hard. Paul is actually using that as a common ground here. Listen, on hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the expectation reserved for you in the heavens. It's kind of tricky there. Does he mean that because we have this great place in the heavens, that therefore our heart is broadened and our heart loves everyone in the body of Christ? Or is it because we all have a common expectation? Okay, cancel that. It can't be that we all have a common expectation. We should, but not all of us do. And I think the fact that we can love all the members of the body of Christ, I think it is due to the fact that we know that we have a reservation among the celestials, and that God has shed his love abroad in our hearts in order to grasp this, and it flows out. The greatest in the body of Christ becomes your servant. Jesus said that. The greatest among you must be the servant of all. And that is so true. The greater you are, the more incumbent it is upon you to be gracious and merciful. This is why people, all these wannabe religionists, all these wannabe leaders, they have to put down people in order to emphasize their own power because they're insecure. But our power is real, and we have an expectation reserved in the heavens. We're the highest of the high, and because of that, the higher you are, the more powerful you are, the closer you are to God, the more it is incumbent upon you to love and to serve. And that's when you know a true servant of God. The highest form of greatness is service. And that's what I think Paul means here. It's that expectation reserved for you in the heavens that causes you to love the saints, which being present with you, according as in the entire world also, the message is bearing fruit and growing, according as it is among you also from the day on which you hear and realize the grace of God in truth. How many times have I gone to this verse? But here it is in the context of the love we have for all the saints. There was a day when you heard and realized the grace of God in truth, according as you learned it. The gentleman on this website who is into New Age and is into touchy-feely, is into power and Reiki, not the power, not the Holy Spirit power, the power of rubbing your hands together and creating sparks or whatever, rubbing sticks and stones together, making sparks at night, you know, afternoon delight, it sounds like to me a little bit, but he mocks us for learning. I've heard this for years. You people are too intellectual. You people are trying too hard to understand the word. You can't understand. You just have to flow with it. You know what this is? This is an excuse for people to believe whatever they want. This is an excuse for truth to become relative. Well, that's your truth. That's your truth. That's good. It's all good. It's an excuse for there not to be any lines in the sand, no demarcations of doctrines. It's broadening the circle of fellowship because you're watering down the truth. And I've seen many people do this over the years for the sake of fellowship. They think that fellowship is more important than doctrine, and so they go light on the doctrine, they go easy on the doctrine, and when you talk about learning something, they are repulsed. They want to go somewhere and throw up. Yet here's Paul, according as you learned it. Learned what? The grace of God in truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful dispenser of Christ for us. Paul raised up faithful dispensers of Christ, who makes evident also to us your love. Here's the theme again. Mixed in this section is love. Right there with learning, with knowledge, with the grace of God, with hearing the evangel, along with acknowledging God as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul never far from mentioning love, who makes evident also to us your love and spirit. And we don't have to be together with each other to exercise this love. We have a medium here where we can talk to each other, and that's wonderful. We have a conference coming up the first weekend in May. Go to martinzender.com, my homepage, and click on the information there. Please come to the conference. Sign up now. Reserve your room. It's wonderful to see each other in person. I can't tell you how wonderful it is. If you've never experienced it, you need to. Please come to the conference in Kansas City, Missouri, the middle of the country. As nice as that is, and as advantageous as it is, and as encouraging as it is to see one another, this love we have is, Paul says, in spirit. It's like Radar Love, that song, Radar Love. We got a thing they call Radar Love. We got a line in the sky. Don't need a letter at all. But having said that, I love reading your words, so please don't stop commenting. Verse 9, therefore we also from the day on which we hear, do not cease praying for you and requesting that you may be filled full with the realization of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul prays the same prayer in Ephesians. He wants the saints to be filled full with the realization of the will of God and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Nothing about sparks here. Nothing about Reiki. There's not that there's not something to all that. It's just compared to this, this is not that. And the result of being filled full with the realization of his will is coming to know more of him in wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, for you to walk, I'm going to end shortly here. For you to walk worthily of the Lord for all pleasing. And I'm accused far too much. My own son accuses me of this, of not encouraging people to walk worthily. But I always do. I always have. But I will never do it at the expense of the truth that the grace of God covers every sin. Because until you know that God's acceptance of you and his love for you is unconditional, until you know that, You will not be at peace. You will not truly be resting in Christ. We must know that there's nothing we can do to out-sin grace. And it is only then that we can walk worthily, when we come to the full realization. That's what Paul has everything in the right order here. He prays that the saints be filled full with the realization of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is understanding about God, about Christ, about God's plan, about the Aeonian plan of God, the work of Christ on the cross. And only then is one able to walk worthily of the Lord, for all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the realization of God. So it's a circle thing. It feeds itself. Paul prays that they be filled full with the realization of his will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. The saints become that. They grow in spiritual understanding. That causes them to walk worthily, because now they're relaxed. Now they're assured of their place in God's sight. And that, in turn, causes them to grow even more in the realization of God. So it's a beautiful circle. Being endued with all power. This is a lot of the things here harkens back to Ephesians. All this power that we have that we can't really detect many times. It's a small amount. Being endued with all power in accord with the might of his glory, for all endurance and patience with joy. Endurance and patience. What's been the common theme here? It's getting through the last of this eon to the snatching away. That's what Paul is talking about here. Again, all of this is geared toward surviving and thriving until the presence of the Lord. And those saints had the same problem we do. Those first century saints, same problem we have. How are we going to make it to the snatching away? Paul's praying for endurance and patience with joy. You see how this all ties in? The joy, not happiness, but joy. That deep down knowing that God has you, that God knows you, and that he has given a common spirit to all of us in the body of Christ, and that we are a unit. We are a body, and the analogy is the human body. As the human body has so many different parts, but it works together. And as it is informed by a common head, the human body, the brain, talks to all the members of the body. The nerves connect the brain with every single part. Thus also the body of Christ. We are connected to each other like this, and we are connected with our head, who's Christ Jesus, who informs us all of the same things and the same truths. Because this is an imperfect world, we have to keep reminding ourselves of those things and those truths. And that's what I'm here to do. I do that for you, and you do it for me. And the common bond that keeps it all together. Now I'm talking about the captain and Tennille. Love will keep us together. It can, and it does. And we have that love of God presented to us in the love of Christ, in going to the cross for our sakes.